scripture reading is found in the Gospel of Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 35 to 43. I invite you to stand as we read God's word. Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging, and heard a multitude passing by. He asked what it meant. So he told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Please be seated.
It is a pleasure to have Brother Jones with us today. The pulpit is all yours.
Good afternoon. Pleasure is mine to worship with you again. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Eternal God and our Father, we invite your presence to tabernacle with us for these few moments. May it be that what is said would refresh us and help us to be more like you. For we ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. Call on Jesus. Jesus predicted his crucifixion numerous times, even going so far as to speak specifically to the way that he would be killed, telling his followers, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The disciples knew that something was about to happen, but they appeared reluctant to accept what Jesus prophesied and taught them. Jesus told his disciples, 7 things were going to happen to him. He told them the Son of Man would be betrayed by the chief priests and the scribes. He told them that he would be condemned to death. He told them that they will hand him over to the Gentiles. And yes, they would mock him. And they would even spit on him. They would whip him. They would kill him. And yes, on the third day, he would raise up himself from the grave. The disciples had the benefit of being taught by the master teacher, Jesus Christ. But Luke says that the disciples did not understand. Can you imagine? The world's best teacher teaches a lesson, and you don't understand. The disciples were not intellectually deficient. Like the people of their time, the disciples were expecting the Messiah to be a political figure who would establish an earthly kingdom. But that was not what Jesus was about. The time had come. Jesus and his disciples were en route to Jerusalem by way of Jericho in preparation for his crucifixion. The place was crowded because this was the Passover time. An unnamed blind man who was sitting by the street corner begging asked, "What was the noise and the crowd all about?" You see, when you lose one sense when you're blind, there's another sense that tends to compensate for it. And it was clear that his hearing was very good. the footsteps and the vibration of the crowd made him ask, "What's happening? Something unusual is happening." They told him Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. The blind man almost immediately began to scream, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Let me introduce you to the blind man. Luke does not name him, but Mark chapter 10, verses 46 and 47 calls him Bartimaeus. He's blind and he's begging for his survival. You see, in those days, if you're blind, you're considered pretty much to be worthless. No job. Just stay by the street corner and beg for your survival. May I ask you, do you know anyone by the name of Bartimaeus? And there's a good reason why you don't know anyone by the name of Bartimaeus. See, the name Bartimaeus means son of the unclean. And it gets worse. Or son of garbage. Or son of filth. None of these names recommend Bartimaeus. He has no good standing or status in that society. He's not one of those persons who forms the crust of society. Every day finds them blind and poor, and he can't change that by himself. Bartimaeus is in possession of one item of relative value. A cloak issued to him by the government. In fact, it's a beggar's coat, the same way that a physician earns his or her white coat. Their name written on there, and MD, so you know it's a medical doctor. Bartimaeus is issued a beggar's coat. His beggar's coat is a license to beg. But it functions also as he takes it off, and it functions as a receptacle to receive the coins that he would receive. It also functions as a cloak to protect him from the weather. It became necessary for him to spread his cloak to receive the gifts that would be thrown at him. Because you see, the Jews would not touch him because he was considered to be defective. In the same way today, when beggars come around, we give them our dollar bills, but we make sure that we hand it to them by the way of the length, that they don't touch our hands. So time goes by. Day after day, Bartimaeus is at the corner. No human touch. No real conversation as people pass by. Bartimaeus's only hope was that one day Jesus would pass by. When he hears that Jesus is passing by, Bartimaeus cannot control himself. He screams like an animal, the background information suggests. He was not going to be pushed aside. He knows what his need is. His need is for Jesus to come into his life. And he screams, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." May I suggest that you and I need to be calling for Jesus in the same way that Bartimaeus has called for him. The spiritually blind people told Bartimaeus to be quiet. But may I suggest that there's nothing worse than being blind and not know that you're blind. And so were the people. "Hold your peace," they told him. "Shut up." But he screamed the more. Can you understand that to keep quiet meant that Bartimaeus would stay blind physically, and he would also add spiritual blindness to himself? Bartimaeus' screams for Jesus, Son of David, meant that he had accepted Jesus as the long-awaited Savior and deliverer of mankind. For him, a Savior had come. For him, Messiah was present. Jesus heard Bartimaeus' scream and sent someone, possibly one who was telling him to be quiet. Luke chapter 18 and verse 40 tells us that when he was come near, when he got near, meaning that Bartimaeus had good reason to be screaming, because there was distance, physical distance between where Jesus was and where Bartimaeus was. Bartimaeus got near to Jesus. Mark chapter 10 and verse 50 tells us that Bartimaeus got up. Tossed his cloak, tossed it away, and he went to Jesus. You must remember, as I stated earlier on, that his cloak meant that it was his profession, his way of survival. It was his license to beg, and that's all that he knew. When Jesus told them to come, he got up and he tossed his cloak, got rid of his cloak. You remember, he's blind, and there is distance between where he is and where Jesus is. So let me ask you, how would he be able to get back to his cloak? Because he had tossed his cloak. There's distance, physical distance between him and Jesus. You see, throwing the cloak aside indicated that Bartimaeus had made a decision to no longer rely on his cloak for financial support. He was choosing Jesus to give him a better life, and he was tossing his old life away. Tossing the cloak meant that Bartimaeus had complete faith and confidence in Jesus, that Jesus would heal him, so he would no longer need the cloak. Bartimaeus accepted Jesus and the material thing that was most valuable to him lost its value immediately. Oh, I wish that we had faith like that. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 41, Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus responded in his original language, "Rabboni," meaning "Master, that I may receive my sight." For Bartimaeus, Rabboni was not just a mere term of endearment. Bartimaeus accepted Jesus as the master of all aspects of his life. Jesus responded, "Thy faith hath saved thee." Oh, I wish that we would have saving faith like that. And the scripture says, and immediately Bartimaeus received his sight. Luke 18:43 says, when all the people saw it, they also praised God. May I suggest to you and to myself that some people are waiting to see us get desperate for Jesus. May I make it clear that there's nothing that is more important than God in your life and in mine. When we don't place God first, we cannot or will not hear him. At the Milan Cathedral in Italy, there are three inscriptions over the respective doorways. Over the right-hand door, there is the motto, "All that pleases is but for a moment." Over the left-hand side door, there is the inscription, "All that troubles is but for a moment." But over the center doorway, there is this one sentence: "Nothing is more important save that which is eternal." Nothing is more important save that which is eternal. How true the statement is, yet so many are more concerned with that which pleases. So many have not taken into consideration things eternal. Your job and mine as a church is to tell men and women that Jesus is coming soon and that they must get ready and stay ready to meet him in peace. Today, life is hectic, and there is noise everywhere. Our television offers more channels than we would ever be able to watch. Our world currently have over 4,000 religions, and by some account, as many as 10,000 distinct religions, all claiming to be true and to be right. The noise of the politicians in this season is deafening. If ever the world needs a Messiah, may I suggest that that time is now. If ever America needs a Messiah, that time is now. America has been all over the world exporting democracy, and today we are fighting to hold on to our own democracy. We have lost our moral compass, if ever we had it. As sons and daughters of garbage, as sons and daughters, as former sons and daughters of garbage, we have worshipped in godless churches and satisfy ourselves that we are Christians, when in fact we are poor and blind beggars. At our best without Jesus, were blind sons and daughters of garbage. May I suggest that we take a page from Bartimaeus's life. And it's time to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Lord, we surrender ourselves to you to trust and to obey. And Lord, as we have listened to your word, we recognize that we ought to be a welcoming church that opens its doors to sons and daughters of garbage. And having invited them to come and tabernacle with us, help us to be the right example. Most importantly, Lord, help us to constantly call upon you, you son of David, to have mercy upon us. We thank you for the mercies that you have extended to us already, and that you will continue to extend to us. May we never take our faith for granted, but may we always seek you, because you have promised that if we seek you, we'll find you. Thank you for that assurance, for we ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen.